Welcome to Dogma and Devotion, the podcast that sheds light on the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith. We discuss a wide range of topics from the viewpoints of two complementary vocations of the Church. I'm Ashley, here at Father Dupre, and on today's episode, we're reflecting on the Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Lent, year B.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We have made it to the fourth Sunday of Lent.
Woohoo.
So this Sunday, traditionally known as Laetare Sunday, is sort of like this joyful season that we get right in the midst of a penitential atmosphere. We're going to see maybe some flowers coming back in a season that's normally very dreary, drab, meant to be that way, putting us in the desert. We don't hear the Alleluia. We don't hear the Gloria. But here we see, like, even starting with the entrance antiphon, "Rejoice, Jerusalem." And this thread of joy is kind of woven through. We see it in the responsorial psalms. And so we can consider, of course, the approach of Easter that's coming and this conquering of death by Christ as a reason to rejoice. But looking at the gospel, we're given another reason that despite our fickleness and our unworthiness, that God has this infinite well of mercy that he desires to give each of us.
Yeah, amen to that. This is a beautiful time in this season that, yes, like Ashley is saying, there is this kind of darkening, right? We went from that bright, strong color that represents life and springtime, you know, ordinary time, to shift into Lent, right, at Ash Wednesday, and it's a darker color. It's one of the darkest, huh? There are, you know, brothers among us that will break out the only darker color, which is black, for funerals and such. And that's great, too. But apart from that, this is it. This is the darkest color that we use. Of course, the last time we saw it was for Advent. And that kind of ties in right here, because we do have Gaudete Sunday with the last season where we used this color of violet. And we lightened it, huh, as this kind of penultimate, this kind of anticipatory moment to say, okay, we've been anticipating, we've been waiting. The light of Christ has not entered the world yet back in Advent. And we need to remember that what we're preparing for, you know, the light is on for you. All these priests going to confession. It's this penitential season. Very similarly here, we are going to reveal with this lighter color of rose. And yes, some of my brothers, just with no embarrassment, will say, "No, I wear pink." Right? They'll just own it. Whatever you want to call it. Okay, rose, pink. I'm Camp Rose. I think it's just a more beautiful word to refer to the color. But it's this idea that we need to remember what we are going through this penance for, just like in Advent, where we're going to confession more often, we're making straight the paths of the Lord, we're making straight the paths of the Lord, but his life, and this is different from Advent, where he's going to begin his life as soon as he's incarnate, right? So he starts to take on the sufferings of humanity as soon as he's conceived and is born in the dead of winter. And he's born in a place where people are rejected. I mean, he was born where people do not have babies, right? Amongst barn animals, right? In a cave. And so there's that. And yet this time of year with Lent, we are being reminded that No. We are celebrating the anticipation of a life that doesn't end at death, right? We are now talking about victory over death, which is the punishment for sin. And so the reign of sin has ended with Christ's resurrection from the dead. So as we've been going through this holy season, right, as we're coming into the fourth Sunday of Lent, we are very deep into all of our disciplines. And so we've had an experience, hopefully, to see, whew, I am not as focused on Christ as I need to be, right? I've done an examination of conscience. I can see that I don't have Christ as primarily the God of my heart as I thought. And now I am understanding that I need a Savior. And hopefully you've tasted that by going to confession. That used to be that one time of year we would go to confession as Catholics. It's called the Easter obligation. And so you do that in anticipation of the Easter celebration that you would go sometime during Lent, right? As you go through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, you're renouncing all of these things. You're coming to an awareness of like, man, all these other things are like idols that I worship in my life. Who and what is my real go-to whenever I go through anxiety or pain or I need comfort? Where and who to what do I turn? And so in this now coming up, In this fourth Sunday of Lent, we should be experiencing, wow, man, the Lord is here for me. And sin is not the end. And so, and there's another point of it too, that yes, we're tasting salvation as we go to confession more, okay, in this holy season of Lent. But there's also this idea that let's remember what we're anticipating, right, as we're tasting it through a kind of revivification, we call it, whenever we go to confession. We're being grafted onto the vine. We're getting topped off with sanctifying grace whenever we go to confession. We're being renewed to the purity of that baptismal state. But it's also, remember, as we go past this moment, we're going to go into the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're going to go into Holy Week. We're going to go into, ultimately Good Friday. Do not forget, right? Let's go back to the Transfiguration. We just had that very recently in Lent. You know, we were given this sense of, hey, remember, His glory is still present. Before we go back down this mountain, remember, God is really here. God is really with us. Don't get hyper-focused on the suffering and the misery of what He's going through. That's still really God doing His thing to save us.
I think a lot of people all recognize probably the most loved Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the gospel of the gospels, as it's called. And so in it, it's God taking that initiative in all salvation because of His love for man. And so as we're approaching Good Friday, there's a quote from Deus Caritas Est, the encyclical by Pope Benedict, where he says, "Crucifixion is the culmination of that turning of God against Himself in which He gives Himself in order to raise man up and save him. This is love in its most radical form." So as we're reflecting on this gospel, we have the opportunity to look at the dichotomy of light versus darkness. And in light, that's where we see truth and righteousness. And in darkness, just sin and ignorance. So it's a good time to kind of examine ourselves and our transgressions, not to steep in them, but to know that God is mercy, John 3:16, and know that repentance is available. But just asking yourself, like, how often is the preference towards darkness me? How often do I look to try to keep in the darkness, to keep suffering, because light is clarity? And do I really want to know myself? And if I don't, then what's hidden there?
This is it. We are given an opportunity in this holy season of Lent to let these things that snuff out our joy in Christ, let's go ahead and put them there at the foot of the cross. Let's make these things His footstool, right? He makes His enemies His footstool as He takes His throne on earth, where sin and evil and death is unleashed, right? In this salvation drama all throughout human history, Yeah, but his cross was planted on earth, on Calvary, and it did put an end to sin. Lent is this opportunity to say, I don't know about anybody else's, but I've seen, Lord, where I have allowed things to get in the way of your love of me. And those things are a threat because they keep me from trusting in you, just like it did in the first covenant of the Garden of Eden at the first tree. Now, Lord, in the new tree of your holy cross, I'm going to put these things here. I'm not going to let them lead me to say no to you or to fail in trusting you. I'm going to say sin is not the end. I'm going to let you reign. Here you are paying the price for all time, even down to whenever I go to confession. A priest in assigning a penance cannot, he does not have the authority to give a punishment for the sins that you've confessed. That's impossible because Christ has taken full punishment for all sins for all time. All that priest is giving you is medicine to help you stay focused on the gift that God has given in his son, Jesus Christ, in dying on the cross to help you stay focused on it. And so now in this holy season of Lent, we are saying God is still unfolding his plan for salvation in time. His cross was planted here. It did overthrow the kingdom of darkness. And now light is here. And again, we are marking that with this beautiful color of rose, this lightening of the darkness of the color of violet as it quickens the heart and it sends blood to the human face, right? And it makes our cheeks rosy and it quickens our hearts and helps us to know, like, man, life is great. Life is beautiful. There's joy here. There's gladness in being saved. And that is what the rest of this season is about. As yes, we have to go on and journey with our Lord, keep making the stations of the cross and to say, but I know what you're accomplishing. I know what I am tasting and having my sins forgiven.
Amen.
Amen to that.
That's good. Close with that.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this holy season. We thank you for the gift of your Son, mounting his cross, choosing to be there. He had the power to remove himself, but he chose to stay to prove his love, that even though we were sinners and we told you no, that you've never stopped seeking us out. You've never stopped calling us, even when we failed you and said no to you. We ask you, Lord, to quicken our hearts, to help us to trust more and more in your mercy as we go through this season, looking forward to the joys of the resurrection. And we ask this in your holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. We will return for our next episode with the gospel for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Thank you.